don't ignore them, right? You just don't. Well, most of the time. And you love them and you bless them and you talk to them. And God likes you to talk to him every day because you have a real relationship with God. He loves you. He's given you what? Life, and life more abundantly. God gives you life. Amen. So I want to talk about prayer today. We're using the scriptures that we use on our weekly prayer. And I just felt like God said, go ahead and just teach that. And we start out with these prayers. What they do is they give us a foundation. Amen. I don't know if I like the word focus. You know, it almost sounds like some kind of weird meditation, you know, that's not godly. You know, focus. No, what we want to have is a foundation. We want to have a foundation of prayer. So God is giving us a foundation. And let's start out with, of course, the one that we know very, very well. When we all come together, and we pray 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14. And everybody could recite it, right? If my people, go ahead with, if you know it. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And I think I left a piece out. But first of all, what I want to talk about is if my people, if my people, that's the people of God, not the people of the whole world. He says, if my people, so it's very important that my people, God's people, he's calling on them to pray. Well, first of all, you humble yourself. Humble yourself. In other words, God, there's a trouble and I can't fix it. Humble yourself and pray. So you follow up humility with prayer. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. How many know Jesus had to fix that one? You weren't really able to turn from your wicked ways. It just, I mean, years and years and years, and you know, people just were not doing it. But Jesus came and he destroyed the power of sin. So when he's destroyed the power of sin and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can come to the Lord at any moment, at any time, because sin is not a barrier to you. Amen? You've sinned, yes. Confess your sin. Humble yourself. Come before the Lord. Lord, thank you that you forgive me. You know, humility is thanking God for the thing that he's done. Thanking God for the thing that he's done for you. You know, we tell our kiddos to be thankful, right? We teach them to be thankful. So when you come into the presence of God, don't beg forgiveness. He's already given it. God has already forgiven you, so what humility is, don't you have to sometimes humble yourself even to receive a gift? Have you ever found that to be true? As though you didn't feel like you deserved it, or you didn't feel like that person knows you well enough to even be able to give you a gift. They shouldn't be doing that, you know. Humble yourself, receive the gift of salvation, receive God's forgiveness, and then pray. Move right ahead. Move right ahead to pray. Humble yourself. Come into the presence of God. Humble yourself and pray. Seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways. How do you turn from your wicked ways? By faith. Then will I hear from heaven. That's a promise, isn't it? Then will I hear from heaven. God said he's going to hear. And he's going to forgive your sin. He already did. And he's going to heal your land. Now, your land might start out just being the land right in front of you. You know, your land may just be your house. You know, your relationship, your immediate circumstance and vicinity. But he's going to heal your land. He's going to heal your land. You remember Moses, when God talked to Moses, talked to Abraham, he said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given it unto you. So that's your land. That's your land. So you're walking in the land that God gave you. So he's going to forgive your sin, he's going to heal, and he's going to heal your land. Yeah. Don't just think on the big side. Amen. Don't just think on you know, what just happened? Don't just think on the big picture. Think on your small picture. Because God wants you to have a relationship with Him that is built on prayer. Amen? It's not just a big prayer group. It's not just the prayer group that we do on Thursday. It is individual, personal prayer that you daily are walking with. God, thank you that you love me. You're walking from the bedroom to the living room. You're walking from the living room to the garage. Yeah, to the garage. That's right. You can pray in the garage. Amen. God, I just thank you that you love me. I thank you that your peace is with me. I thank you, Lord God. See, this is your relationship with God is not just trying to get to heaven. Your relationship with God is having a daily conversation. Having a daily walk with the Lord. He likes you. He doesn't just like, here's big God, you know, you show up in the mayor's office asking for something, you know. Yeah, you may have helped the mayor get elected and you go up to the mayor's office and you're wishing for one little thing. No, this is like your dad. You're going into dad's the living room, sitting in his big chair and saying, God, thank you that you love me. Father, thank you that you love me. You got to get in a practice of walking into the, listen, everybody. You got to get into a practice of walking in the presence of God just like you walk into the presence of your dad. Or maybe your dad, if your dad was a lousy dad, maybe your mom. If you have an Uncle Bill, you know, or you had somebody who was your best grandpa, whatever. Wherever you had that male relationship that was, you were safe, and you knew that this guy is on my side, and he's for me. That's where you go. You go into the presence of God. Humble yourself. Get ready to receive. Humbling yourself is allows you to receive what you didn't deserve. Amen? Amen. Humbling yourself isn't just, well, I'm bad and I'm crummy and I'm all awful. You know, humble yourself is just I'm not what God expected me to be. But thank God for His forgiveness because He's forgiven me. Okay? Humble yourself. Pray and pray. Humble yourself and wait to pray. No. Don't wait for a week. Don't wait for 6 months. Don't wait for it to take effect. You humble yourself, you immediately begin to pray. You begin to pray. What is prayer? Thanking God, rejoicing in His presence, having a confidence that He is on your side and He's already completed everything that pertains unto life and godliness for you. Okay, maybe you're 15, maybe you're 10, maybe you're 50. You know, it doesn't matter. How old you are right now is your opportunity to come in the presence of God and enjoy His love, His grace. You know, the earlier you start, the more you can receive. It's kind of like Social Security. You know, some people don't want to wait until they're 70, you know. Some people start when they're 62. You can get in a little bit early because you get money. You get money early. And it's more every month you get a little bit. You know, you get a little bit less than you got before. But see, you know what the sneaky part about Social Security is? If you start taking it, they start giving you raises early. That's funny. So you still don't hardly lose nothing. So I'm saying this to you is that when you're young, start praying. When you're young, start praying. Don't wait for dad. Don't let dad pray for you. As soon as you figure out how to pray, you pray. Amen? God, thank you that you like me. God, thank you that you like all my friends at school. Even the ones I don't like, you like them. You want to save them. You want to minister to them. You want them to have the blessing that I have. Because I'm blessed today. Amen? You don't look at your circumstances and think, well, this is terrible. This is just awful. I just don't like anybody. No, you begin to learn to love people. This is prayer. Prayer is learning how to walk in the presence of God. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Now I want to look at Nehemiah. You think, Nehemiah? Isn't he the guy that built up the wall? Yeah, he is. Nehemiah chapter 1. This is how the story starts. The story starts, that he came in, and I think I've told you this story before. He comes in, somebody gives him a bad report about the state of Jerusalem, about how Jerusalem is sitting. So you can write these down. I'm going to read pieces of them. Over in Nehemiah, and again, we're talking about prayer. We're talking about the foundation of prayer, okay? This is what we're talking about today. Now here Nehemiah is in, he's over in Babylon. He's asked, somebody went down to Jerusalem. Well, how'd it go? How was it? Tell me how things are going down there. And they gave a pretty bleak rendition of what was going on there. And so he began to pray in verse 11. Or excuse me. Find out where he began to pray. Because I didn't write it down properly. Is it verse 11? Well, there he is. Okay, so I did write it down. Chapter 1. Let's look at verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And said, I beseech you, Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keeps covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now day and night for the children of Israel, your servants. And confess the sins of the children of Israel and which we have sinned against you. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against you and we have not. So he's praying for his people. He's praying on behalf of his people. He's confessing on their behalf. You know, they might not be confessing, but he's confessing for them. You know, you can do that. You can confess for America. You confess for Tarrant County. You can confess for your city. We have dealt very corruptly, verse 7, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I beseech you, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, will I scatter you abroad among the nations. Well, sure enough, that's what happened. Here they are sitting in Babylon. But if you turn to me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out to the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from there and will bring them to the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. So now he's declaring, okay, here's the people that you have delivered. Your servants, your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power. So now, here, verse 11 here. O Lord, I beseech you, here's your prayer. Let now your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants, all of us, who desire to fear your name and prosper, I pray you, your servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. Now we talked about this one time, him being the king's cupbearer. In other words, he was a disposable employee. Amen? Because you're tasting whatever the king's going to eat, and if he had an enemy that day, we could have needed another cupbearer, you know, by the end of the day. But here, this man, Nehemiah, had a desire to know what the state of the people of God was. And then here, he begins to pray and to repent for the people of Israel, for the people who were in captivity. And then he says, Lord, here's what we're talking about, his prayer, the practicality of the prayer. O Lord, verse 11, I beseech you, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. So here, Nehemiah is coming into the presence of the Lord because he sees the downcast state of Jerusalem and saying, God, you're the one who redeemed your people. Come and do it. Come and redeem them again. And so that's what prayer is about. Because we're praying now. You've got all these groups that are praying for the all over the nations and all over this world. These folks are praying and lifting up the needs of this nation and the needs of the world to receive the kingdom of God. Amen? That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. He's preparing a place for them. Preparing a place for them. All right? Now let's look over at Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. So we have Nehemiah praying because of a dire situation with his people. And so that's what we want to do is when we see a dire situation, that we want to do what? Pray. Amen. We want to begin, the first thing you do is you pray. Daniel chapter 6. You're going to recognize this story. Hallelujah. I guess I should have put a bookmark there. Okay, let's look at Daniel 6, verse 6. So we have Daniel, and he's ruling with a bunch of other office holders that have been set up in Babylon. And so he's saying here, actually, this is in Persia, because Darius is the king. By this time, it's Darius. So when then these presidents, in chapter 6, verse 6, these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes, all the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute. We're going to have a law. We're recommending the king make this law. And to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any man for 30 days, save of you, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Well, there's a heck of a punishment. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not, because the king, in the law of the king of Persia is that if the king signs a law, it can't be changed. If he can't even change it. He can't change it himself. That it not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which alters not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, verse 10, look at this now. See, they were out to get Daniel. I didn't read the first part of chapter 6. These guys are all out to get him. They do not like his politics. They do not like his connections. They do not like the fact that he is hearing God and walking with God. So verse 10 says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, what was the writing about? It was to cancel prayer, wasn't it? It was nobody could pray for 30 days. Nobody could pray to anybody. Couldn't Daniel just wait 30 days? Well, I guess not. If you're praying to God, you don't wait 30 days. You pray today, just like you prayed yesterday. Now, that when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, what did he do? He went into his house. And his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before. So did he change anything? No. So he's busy praying. Because you know why he's praying? Because he knows it's effective. He's praying because he knows that it's changing the whole nation of Persia. Amen. You know, he's one of the top dogs in Persia. He's one of three presidents. They had three presidents there at the beginning of chapter 6. They had three presidents and a bunch of princes, a bunch of underdogs. And Daniel was put into that position just like he was put into that position in Babylon. He was put in that position in Babylon. Now he's put in that position in Persia. You get to be put in some kind of position that God was going to use you. You know you're here for a purpose, right? You know you're here to be used of God. Not to just, you know, so many Christians just here to make it to heaven. Come dragging into heaven, you know. Dear Lord God, I barely made it. Well, that's not, you didn't do it right. Amen. You didn't do it right. You got to be coming into heaven rejoicing and shouting and say, Jesus, it was awesome. You know, you might have a few wounds on you. That's okay. Is that he's you are in this world to transform and to change the world and bring the world to Jesus. If politics helps, that's fine. You can help some politics, but that's not the purpose. Amen. You know, we tell you to vote. We tell you to work for good candidates and what all, but that's only because we can do that here. We pray for godly candidates and all that, you know, but that's not our purpose. That's just a side hustle. Amen. That's just a side hustle. What? To bring the nation to God. To bring the people to the Lord. That's the only reason for that. So he says here that, you know, he did that just the same as he did before, verse 11. Then these men, now watch this, it's funny. These men assembled and found Daniel. They must have been assembled outside of his window because his window was open. You know, they don't have air conditioning. So back in those days, they had the windows open. And they got out. Can you imagine them huddled down below beneath the window? Hey, what's he doing? Is he praying? Oh, he's praying. Let's get him. Let's go tell the king. And of course, they had to tell the king. The king had to put him in the lion's den, you know. But it did say, and one interesting thing is, see, the king loved Daniel, but he did a dumb king. He's stupid, you know, because he signs this law. He's got, don't you know that there's only one guy they're trying to get? You know, there's only one guy they're trying to get. And then it said he worked day and he worked till the setting of the sun to get Daniel out of this pickle. But, you know, to no avail. Because they got good, strong laws. You can't get out of the king's law. Not even the king. Can't even get out. So then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. So powerful. So let's find them doing that with me. Lord, find them doing that with me. Find them doing that with you. Is assembling outside your window. And making sure that they hear you're praying. Because the thing is, he's probably praying for them. That's interesting, wouldn't it? He's probably praying for them. He's praying for all of those guys. And Lord, for his family and for him. And for Lord, that you'd redeem him. That you'd bring him to the knowledge of the truth. And so that's what he's doing. Now, so we have Nehemiah praying for the redemption of his and the restoration of his people, and praying, repenting on behalf of his people. You got Daniel praying, and basically he's not necessarily praying for anything more than this is his time of prayer, amen. So this is his time of prayer. He is coming in and he is having that time with his Father, with the Lord God. He's having time with him. Amen. Now let's talk about what we have in the New Testament with respect to prayer. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort therefore, this is Paul, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, everybody say first of all. All right. Supplications and prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks. There's four things. Supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks. That's a long list. Praise the Lord. So that's a list of things that God said. I exhort, therefore, I'm teaching you and commanding you. An exhortation is a command to to do an act or to perform. So God, so Paul is telling you that first of all, there's four things you do: supplicate, pray, intercede, and give thanks. Supplicate is just is to ask, is to come into the presence of God and ask. To pray is to and also to intercede, to come in and make an intervention. To make an intervention. Giving of thanks. So you're giving of thanks. Be made for all men. So, what's your first prayer? For all men, that's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of men. There's a lot of people. So your prayer is for all men. Lord God, we just pray for all men everywhere. We pray for all men everywhere. And then also next to pray for kings. See, some people mix that up, say you're supposed to pray for kings first. Well, no, that's the next thing you pray for, is kings and those who are in authority. But first of all, you pray for all men. So we're commanded to pray. We have an exhortation from Paul the Apostle, therefore from Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. How many remember the Bible is the word of God? Amen. So this is the word of God. For kings and those that are in authority. Okay, there's two different groups there. You know, there could be kings, that guys who have authority and you didn't help. But you also have those who are in authority. Well, that's true in this country. Who's in authority in this country? We the, say people. We the people, yeah. So that's what our document says. Our document says we the people. So those who are in authority will pray for us. Amen. Why do you pray for us? So that we'll elect right, good people, godly people. Don't elect ungodly people. So pray for your fellow citizens so that they are electing godly people with a godly worldview. So pray for kings. Kings, there's a lot of kings out there. And it seems like there's not as many kings, but they may be just dictators who call themselves president. So you pray for them, because some of them, they don't care anything about, you know, all this. You know, Kim Jong-un, you know, or the supreme Ayatollah over there in Iran, or Putin. You know, he's got a parliament, but he's the boss. You know, President Xi over there in China, you know, he's got a parliament. He's got a big hundreds of people out there in there. In their capital building, but he's the boss. So those guys are still kings. Amen. And those who are in authority, that, and why should we pray that? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That we might live a quiet and peaceable life. And all godliness and honesty. What's the purpose of that? So you can preach the gospel without disturbance. Amen? The reason you want a quiet and peaceable life is not so you can watch television. Amen. You want a quiet and peaceable life so you can preach the gospel. There's a reason for having a quiet and peaceable life, and it's not being disturbed in the business of your hands. And the reason you have a business, the reason you have something that you're doing and making money is because that's your gospel machine. You have to feed it and make sure it eats and, you know, drink, has water to drink. You know, you got to make sure that you're having yourself sustained, because the only reason we're sitting here and breathing is to tell somebody else about Jesus. And that sounds trite, but it's the truth. That's the only reason you're here. Why would you otherwise be here? Well, so you can have a good old life. Well, you know, what you're doing is rescue the perishing, as the Baptists say, rescue the perishing. That's the reason there's a hymn that called that, is rescue the perishing. You know, and that's what you're doing. That's why you're here. That's why you pray. See, you're having a constant communication with God to be able to bring the good news to the entire world. That's a purpose. That's the purpose for which we live and breathe and have our being. And so prayer is something. It's not a law in the sense that, okay, did you pray three times today? Even as Daniel did. But are you constantly having that relationship with the Lord God? Constantly having that relationship. Now, the reason, the way he did that, the reason God did that, I mean, these guys in the Old Testament prayed. But now God has in fact put the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. If you go back and read John chapters 14, 15, and 16. Is that Jesus, in his final discourse at the Last Supper, was talking about how the Holy Spirit was being, he was going to, preparing to bring the, and give the Holy Spirit to you when he left. So Jesus was with them for 3 years, but he is no longer going to be with them personally and individually, but he is going to give them his Spirit. He is going to have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And so thus, if you're a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit does live on the inside of you. And he will speak to you with respect to the things of God. And you're talking to him, and he's talking to you. He's that communication avenue with the Father. He's the communication avenue with the Lord Jesus. Amen. So that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Well, there it is again. Praying with all prayer. Pardon me. Got to make that more distinct. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So in other words, so Paul is talking about this stuff. And he is making sure that we have a direction to include prayer in our walk, in our daily walk. Amen? It's not, I mean, you may start in the morning, but then you're going to be praying throughout the day. Amen? Just, you know, Father, thank you that just everything. I mean, you see something going on out in front of you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you that you're having mercy on that individual, loving that person right now in Jesus' name. Because you might as well be a police officer out there keeping your eyes peeled. Amen. I mean, you are God's authority out there in the, you know, wherever you're walking to. Or wherever you're walking from, is to say, Lord God, transform that guy right now. And you have an opportunity to maybe say something to him. Well, you don't need to be sitting there on the side of that bench. You know, you need to trust Jesus because I'm here to tell you about it. See, you're bringing the authority of God's kingdom everywhere you go. Can you imagine every Christian doing that? Having that mindset, having that thought that everywhere I go, everything I do, every time I meet and look at somebody, it's because Jesus loves them. Because Jesus loves that person. Jesus desires to. And so we meditate on that. We don't do it as a you know, come on, you got to say something to that guy. No, you just consistently have that mindset that, Lord, thank you that you're, everywhere I go, everything I'm doing, I'm keeping my eye. It's like having your kids. When you got your little kids with you, don't you always have kind of one eye looking out, making sure nobody's going to come grab them, making sure that they're not jumping, getting into something they're not supposed to be getting into. That's you, and that's the Holy Spirit walking. That's prayer, honestly. That is prayer. Lord God, thank you for what you're doing. See, this is the prayer of the saints, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Wow. You know, go read that verse, Ephesians 6:18. Put that on a platter or something. Put that on, you know, a sign somewhere in your house. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance. Perseverance means keep going. Keep doing it. Keep going. Keep praying. Don't let up. and supplication for all saints. That there's all men again, right? In other words, well, I don't know that person. Well, good, pray for them. You'll start loving them. You know, if you start praying for people, you actually start falling in love with them. I don't mean in a bad way. I mean in the God way. Is that you just start loving that person. You know, if you got a person you're irritated with, just start praying for them. Start praying for them. Lord God, thank you for them. Because God loves them. In whatever state they're in, God loves them. Ephesians chapter 1, let's back up a couple of chapters, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, he's talking to the Ephesian church, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, so in other words, your fellow believers, and love unto all the saints, well, these are people who are walking with God, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. All right, so what you want to do is continue to pray for your brothers and sisters. Amen? Continue to pray for them because they have things that are happening daily, like their mother moving in with them or, you know, whatever. You know, you got all kinds of things or people, you know. There's all kinds of troubles going on in the world, isn't there? Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation. But cheer up. I've overcome the world in which you have the tribulation. God is doing mighty things in you. Are you happy? Are you having a good time? Say, I'm having a great time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 7, Ephesians 1, where we were talking about right there. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 17. So I cease not to make mention, to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Here's the mention. Here's the mention. Don't you wish somebody would mention you in their prayers like this? Well, how's he mentioning you? You. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every other name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He's praying this for you. And has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Chapter 2, there is no chapter 2. It's just a letter, right? Just, and you hath he quickened. He's made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And so you can continue to go on. But here's it's the mention that he's making of you in his prayers. Amen? So, you know, it being be incumbent upon you to make mention of your fellow saints in your prayers. Amen? Paul would not mind if you go ahead and borrow this. You could borrow this piece right here, and you could pray it for Jackie, you know, when you're busy praying for her. Or you could pray for Luke, you know, and he would appreciate that, you know. Because he might not even hear you pray it, but the result of it will be evident. Amen? That's a great prayer, by the way. Amen. I enjoy that one. Praise the Lord. Okay, over in Luke chapter 11, we're not going to go too much further. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, that he was praying in a certain place. And when he ceased, when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And so Jesus did. He gave them a framework. A framework. You can use this as a prayer by itself, or you could actually use it as a framework. You know, Pastor Jim has a book back there called 8 Parts to Daily Prayer. And it's a framework. Amen? You should get it. It'd be helpful to you. It's a framework for prayer. I mean, you don't do this. Do. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You know, because if you're doing that, you're just paying attention to the 1 through the 8, right? Amen? But what you do is you begin with that, and then you let the Holy Spirit lead you as you continue to go, you know. As you come in and you pray. Enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Into his courts with praise. So pray, thanksgiving, praise, worship, confession of sin, confession of righteousness, then petition, and then intercession, and then commitment, to committing your way into the Lord, right? So you have these 8 parts today to this daily prayer. But then, you know how you do, how many of you still use that recipe for cornbread, or still use that recipe for whatever you've been making for 50 years? You know, you don't use the recipe anymore. You're just slinging things, you know, and bringing it. Yeah, and that's what you do with prayer. You just come in. After a while, you don't need the framework anymore. You don't need the scaffolding anymore, because now you just walk into the presence of God, and you just know how to pray. You know that, God, thank you that you love me. Thank you. You just grab his hand and go walking out onto the sidewalk, just walking out into the daylight. You know, you're walking and praying with God. Amen? So once you get through that, it's God's not into religious prayer. Amen? He's not into religious prayer. He's into relationship. He's into walking with you and you walking with him. You know, Enoch. Remember the story about Enoch? And Enoch walked with God. And one day, God said, you want to go home with me? He said, sure. And so there he goes. And he was not. He couldn't be found. They looking for him. Well, wonder where Enoch went. I mean, they couldn't even find his body. I mean, you know, because God took him. God took him, lock, stock, and body. And he took him up to heaven. Yeah, same thing with, you remember old Elijah, you know, came down. The only guy I saw him go was Elisha. You know, he says, there's a fiery chariot that showed up and hauled him off. Yeah, he jumped on there and went up to heaven. And then Jesus. Jesus was a little less spectacular. He just kind of floated on up, you know. Just disappeared up behind the next cloud. Where is he? You know, you remember the angels came down and said, angels were looking up too. They were doing this. What are y'all doing? Yeah, Jesus. I always love that. They're all looking up at the sky, kind of. What are y'all doing? That Jesus, same Jesus, is going to return just the same way he left. So Jesus went up as well. But I tell you what, Jesus, God wants you to go to his house. So you can do that in prayer. I don't say you're going to lift off the ground, but you're going to go with God to his house in prayer. Amen? Go with God to his house in prayer. Go with God. Go with him. Amen? So Jesus said, after they said, when you pray, say this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then we added a few more words. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. So we're praying, and Jesus gives us that framework to include these things in your prayer. Include these things when you pray. He didn't expect them to pray those words every time you pray. All right? Then look over at Romans chapter 12 for a moment. Romans chapter 12. You can write these down, you know. It's helpful. I did. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing always in prayer. Continuing always in prayer. Always be praying. Always be. Always. Remember how he said always? Always and always. I get a good friend over in Dallas who says that. Talks about God. That he's doing things for you. Always and in always. Always with all prayer. And then finally, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I think you know this one. Verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When we gather together on, and we've used those scriptures as a foundation and a basis, then we gather together on Thursdays at 6:30. We encourage you to come and do that. You can do it anyway. If you need help doing it, we encourage you to ask ahead of time and we can help you get on. But it's encouraging. God has told us, God has commanded us to pray. Now, this is so much of what I've talked about is praying, you praying individually. But of course, over in Acts chapter 4, they were praying as there were troubles going on in the world. In Acts chapter 4, where Peter is in jail, you know, and so they're praying for him. And the disciples are being detained by the Jewish authorities, and they beat them, and then they sent them back and commanded them not to preach in that name anymore. And so they said, Lord God, we pray for boldness to bring the gospel. Behold their threatenings. And they quote Psalm 2, you know. Behold their threatenings. Because the enemy, because the threatenings of the world are not us against the world. It's us against the enemy of our souls. Amen? They weren't against the kings and their authorities. They're against the devil and his desire to destroy people. And so our heart is to deliver people from death and hell into the presence of the Almighty God. Amen. And so that's, you know, you're not against people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So when you're praying, you wrestle not against, get our enemies, God. No, the devil is your enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places, rulers of darkness. That's who we're against. That's who we're standing against. And so when we come together to pray, first of all, we pray for individuals. We pray, just to let you know how this runs. We pray for individuals. We pray for, like this morning, we pray for Bill, pray for Eric, pray for, you know, people individually. and we pray for them. And then we come in, then we have portions of prayer where we pray for our elected officials. We pray for those who are in places of authority. We pray for them. We pray for all men. We pray for the families in our church. Because we pray for different groups of people. And we pray for our elders and deacons. You know, pray for Pastor Joel and the champions. You know, we pray for Monty and Jackie and the ministry at the homeless shelter. We pray for the nations. We pray for the states. We pray for the counties and their city councils and county commissioners. We pray for officials by name. Governor Abbott, Joe Biden. Yes. Amen. Pray for the president, the person who is in the office. We pray for the people that are in those offices. Those offices have been established because Romans chapter 13 tells us that it is established for thee, unto thee for good. So we want good to prevail in that office, even though the officer might not have quite the right understanding of his office. So we're praying for that officer in his office, because his office was not established by him, it was established by God. Amen. So we have to understand, you know, what the purposes of our prayers are. We pray for the schools, private schools, public schools, charter schools, home schools. Sometimes we don't get to every bit of it, or sometimes we do it fast because we have other prayer that takes precedence. A lot of times there's maybe one thing or another thing that kind of catches our hearts, and that we pray for those things. And so you never know what you may end up praying for. But I'm just telling you, I'm encouraging you, join us. 6:30 on Thursday. I know Thursday's good for a lot of people, bad for other people. Just know this. If you're in your car driving somewhere on Thursday every week, remember that we're praying. And pray with us. Even if you can't call in, join us. Put a little sticky on your thing. Put a little note in your, put it on your phone calendar. You know, is that pray. At 6:30 on Thursday, pray. 6:30 to 7:30, pray. Amen. So we just encourage you to do that, you know. So it's just not another thing on the schedule to, you know, so we can have plenty of things on the schedule. Amen. But it's to teach us to regularly join together. Another purpose is, well, I can pray by myself. Well, of course you can. You should. You should pray every hour but 6:30 on Thursday by yourself. 6:30 on Thursday, if you can. Pray for somebody. Pray with us. Join us. Amen? Praise God. I mean, you show up here. You don't show up here at 10:30 on at 10:30 on Tuesday, you show up here at 10:30 on Sunday, because that's when everybody else is showing up, right? So praise the Lord. Well, God is good, amen? So I'm encouraging you to pray with us. Pray individually. Have that relationship with God. Walking daily in your life. Walking daily in the presence of the Lord. Jesus went aside to pray, but he also prayed as he went. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, verse 15 says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. I encourage you to pray with the understanding, pray for the needs that you know you need, but pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. What is that? Is that if any man prayeth in an unknown tongue, his spirit prayeth. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You read that scripture. If any man pray in an unknown tongue, his spirit prayeth, but his understanding is unfruitful. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. So you're praying in another tongue, in your spirit. Over in Jude verse 20 it says, and ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So I've encouraged you. So continue in prayer. And let the Holy Spirit lead you, guide you. Begin with a framework, and then just continue. Continue to pray. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Lord God, we come before you this morning with this scripture and with this exhortation to prayer. We thank you, Lord God, that you have commanded us to pray. You've commanded us to come into your presence, to walk with you, to hear your voice, to know you. And as we do, Lord God, we thank you that you are teaching us how to minister to others in the world, how to teach them to pray, how to teach others to receive forgiveness, to humble themselves and pray and seek your face, turn from their wicked ways. Then will you hear from heaven and forgive our sin and heal our land. Father, we thank you that you have forgiven our sin as we receive your finished gift. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, God is good. Hallelujah. Remember, don't forget to pray.